Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Somebody say they're not carnal. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Joshua 6:20. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Sidebar, if you're not going to shout, you're not going to take the city. If you don't open up your mouth, there's only so much you're going to possess. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a wall breaker. Tell him, I'm pulling down strongholds every day. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am talking to people today that you have a wall. There is a stronghold between you and your God-given destiny. The promises of God that are yes and amen. Here's the deal, church. We are a faith church. Faith church is more than a declaration. Faith takes walking it out. Faith takes action. Faith takes doing. So when God gives you a promise, listen to what I'm going to say. There is always something in between you and that promise. That thing between you and I and that promise, it becomes very important that we know how to deal with it. The good thing is it doesn't matter what it is. God has given you the power to pull it down. God has given you the power to bust through it. We are wall breakers. We are called to be wall breakers. It's what God has called us to do. It's why Jesus would say things like, you can say to the mountain, move, and it will be moved. And nothing shall be impossible to those that believe. When we are faced with walls, when we are faced with those things that are impeding our progress and stopping us from moving forward in faith or receiving the promises of God, there's a lot of things we can do. We can whine. We can cry. We can talk about how it's not fair. Or we can use the same breath. We can use the same voice, the same mouth, and we can begin to declare the goodness of the Lord, the promises of God. And we can begin to do something to change our situation. I read a great quote this morning while I was scrolling through Facebook. And it said, once you turn 18, you can't blame your parents for anything. Once you turn 18, you now have the power to make every decision that brings your life up or brings your life down. Can I just flip the script on that and not make it an age thing? But the day you said yes to Jesus, you now have the power to break the walls down or to just whine about the walls, to win in life or to lose in life. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to raise wall breakers. I want Living Way to be known as wall breakers. I don't want us just going through life hoping it ends up right. And beating our head against the wall for 6 months when God said you should have spoke to that wall the first day and have that thing crumble in front of you. Bringing down strongholds is what God has called us to do. Joshua chapter 5, before we get to Joshua 6, the nation of Israel has come out of the wilderness. They have crossed the Jordan River and they are now in the promised land. It is on the evening of the 14th day of this month that they have their final meal that is prepared. It is the final meal of manna. It's the last time that they roast a little grain. It's the last time that they are going to eat what they ate while they were wandering. Can I just encourage you with a sidebar that what you eat in the wilderness is a lot different than what you eat in the promised land. That what God gave you in the wilderness was just to sustain you, to get you to a certain place. But when you step into the fullness of God, it is no longer Honey Nut Cheerios. Now it's filet mignon. Now it's honey. Now it's milk. Now it's the goodness of the Lord. Can I remind you that we are not called to just survive, but we are called to thrive. When you live in the promised land, you are thriving. You are living under an open heaven, under an abundant God. So God said, listen up, Joshua, you need to let everybody know this is the last time they're getting manna. This is the last time you're going to eat what you've eaten for 40 years. From this day forward, you're in the land. It's time that you start enjoying the land. I've lived in a house that Mandy and I built almost for about 2 years ago. I'm just now starting to enjoy it. And it's still not done. I don't have any landscape yet. There's still curtains up where I don't want curtains. I want different window treatments. But it's just now getting comfortable to where you can live in a place without enjoying what that place provides. When you start looking at hotels, when you go visit places, or you look at a vacation rental by owner, you automatically look at the amenities. When what's really important is that you just have a roof over your head. But that's just surviving. God didn't call us to survive. There are so many amenities in the kingdom of God. What are the amenities? That you don't have to be broke, that you don't have to be sick, that you don't have to be oppressed, that you don't have to be possessed, that you don't have to be addicted, that you don't have to be lost, that you don't have to be confused, that you don't, all of these are amenities. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's an amenity. Peace that passes all understanding. That's an amenity. And so a lot of us have gotten comfortable that just because we're not living under bondage anymore and we've stepped into the promised land, just because you're in the promised land doesn't mean you're eating the promise. And so we need to pull down strongholds, because the promise is that you're going to live in homes you never built, cities you never built. You're going to take grapes from vines you never planted, which leads me to this point, that God will lead you to water, but you're going to have to drink. God will lead you to provision, but you're going to have to possess. So on the evening of the 14th day, it was the last time that they celebrated Passover outside of what God had called promise. We left last session talking about don't get stuck between deliverance and dominion. Most believers I know struggle with stepping into dominion, which is what God called us to live in. Dominion means that you are dominating everything that life throws your way. That every time life throws you a curveball, you're able to hit it. That every time life throws a punch, you don't roll with the punches, you punch back in Jesus' name. Verse 12, the manna stopped that day. After they ate this food from the land, there was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan, the promised land. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, remember, Joshua knew that there's a city with our name on it. There's things within that city that God has given us. But Joshua knew that that city is not just going to give up. That's going to take us doing something to possess the promise of God and to bring down those walls. When Joshua was near Jericho, which means he could see what God had promised, but he hadn't taken ownership of what God had promised. I want to encourage believers, faith is the currency of heaven. And if you have faith, you're not just going to see the promise of God. You're going to own the promise of God. You're going to live the promise of God. You're going to see the promise of God in your family. You're going to see the promise of God at your job. But it takes those of us that have said yes to Jesus, and we walk in faith and we live in faith, not by sight, and say, God, more than see it, more than talk about it, I want to do it and I want to be about it in Jesus' name. He looked up as he saw Jericho, and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to the man and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? What a question. There's three types of people in this world. This is going to help somebody. It's going to free somebody. It's going to be funny, but it's so true. Number one group is those that hate you. That group is very, very, very small. And it's ever-changing. A young person told me the other day, they said, yeah, my arch rival at school. I said, arch rival? You are 14 years old. You don't have an arch rival. You're not Thor. You're not Superman. You don't have a nemesis. You have somebody that doesn't like you because of the shoes you're wearing. But there's the group of people that hate you. They're against you. That group is very small. And let's be honest, that group is always changing by what you do and what you say. There's people that love you today that hate you next week. And then they'll love you again the next week. So that group is very small. The second group is bigger than that group. And that's the people that love you. You need to mark the people that love you. You need to mark the people that have walked through some valleys with you. You need to mark the people that have prayed for you, that have anointed you, that have showed up at your bedside, that have showed up at the hospital, that have showed up at the courtroom. You need to know who is for you. So Joshua walks up and he said, I'm getting ready to make those walls fall, and I need to know, sir, are you with me or are you against me? Do you love me or do you hate me? Which leads me to the third group. The people that don't know who you are and could care less who you are. Just think this. The people that really love you, less than 10. You said, no, I got more people that love me. See if they'll give you rent next month. No, they like you. They don't love you. You got 10 that love you. You got less than 5 that hate you. You got 8 billion people that don't know who you are and don't care who you are. Oh, that encourages me, because there's a whole lot of people that they're not going one way or the other. They don't care what's going on. Think about this. Some of the greatest entertainers in the world have 50 million Instagram followers, and we think it is so awesome when there is another almost 8 billion people that have never heard of them. So he walks up to this man and he says, are you with me or are you against me? Are you on my side or are you on Jericho's side? And I love what the man says. He said, I'm not on either one of y'all's sides. I am on the Lord's side. You know why you need a friend that's on the Lord's side? Because when we're acting crazy, they don't act crazy because they're on God's side. You know why you need somebody in your life that's on the Lord's side? Because when you're wrong, they're not going to amen you're wrong. They're going to say, nope, that's not how you should be acting. That's not how you should be living. Come on, man, we're trying to tear down walls. Come on, man, we're trying to bust down walls. We need you here. We need you to get. And so when I get out of place, the people that love me will stroke my ego and coddle me. The people that hate me will point and laugh and judge me and syndicate my mistake. But the people that are on the Lord's side will say, hey, get your stuff together. We've got walls to break down. We got cities to take. We got nations to save. So it's not who loves you. It's not who hates you. It's who's on the Lord's side. I have no doubt that the Greens love me. I love them. I don't know what I would do if they asked me to help them with their mortgage payment. She said, could you? Okay, let me change it. I like you. I like you a lot. I don't know what they would do if I asked them for help with my mortgage payment. Get them our payment. Come on, let's go. Not really helping my illustration, but. As long as they've been at Living Way, part of our pastoral team, we've never been to dinner together, have we? You've never been to my house. I've never been to your house. Doesn't mean we're not close. Doesn't mean we don't love each other. Doesn't mean that we don't fight each other. Fight for each other. Maybe fight each other. We're all like brother and sister. However, if I ask her whose side you're on, she's on the Lord's side. She's not on my side. I need people that are on the Lord's side that knows. And remember, this man had a sword in his hand. He said, I'm ready to fight, and I've been sent from heaven. I've come with a message from God. I've come with some strategy. I've come with some Holy Ghost. I've come with some anointing. You need me not on your side. You need to get on God's side. And if you're on God's side, hey, we're cool, and we can bust down these walls together. Here's the catch, church, and this is why I love Living Way. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you have purple polka dots. I don't care if you have $1 million in your bank account or you had to catch VIA to get here today. All I have, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've been here for 40 years or 40 minutes. All I have is one question for you. Are you on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, then walls cannot stand. If you're on the Lord's side, then strongholds must come down. We need to quit segregating ourselves by all of these other little trivial things and start picking people out. There's a Holy Ghost filled man. There's a woman of God. Oh, he knows how to pray. She knows how to worship. That's my crew. That's my crew. I'm not an easy guy to live with because I'm intense all the time. Mandy can tell you. What I appreciate about Mandy is Mandy does not coddle me. That when I'm having an episode and it's woe is me, the sky is falling, can I be transparent for a minute? She might hug me, but she's more on God's side Then she is on Brandon's side. And she says things like, you know the will of God is going to come in your faith. You know what God has promised. You know what God has brought us through. This is just another thing for God to do. That's the kind of spouse you need. Not somebody that will commiserate with you. Not somebody who hates the same people you hate or loves the same people you love. Not the person who says, yeah, you know what? They shouldn't have done that to you. Man, we should all, you need somebody that says, hey, I got a sword. I know the Lord. I'm on his side. Snap back into position. Get back on track. Get your focus back. We got walls to break. Come on, those walls are not going to fall themselves. And I think that's where a lot of believers get it twisted, is we got a lot of faith and we have a lot of declaration, but we don't have anybody willing to swing a sword. We don't have anybody willing to stand up and say, hey, Washington's wrong. I'm on the Lord's side. They can't legislate this. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm sorry if it's not politically correct. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm sorry if the word of God offends you, but I have to stand right with him. Why? Because I got walls in between me and where God is taking me. And I'd rather have walls fall down and be by myself with God than have the world behind me with walls in front of me. Can I tell you, church, today, you're going home today and you're going to break down walls. Not because of the people that love you, not because of the people that hate you, but because you are on the Lord's side and God is sending you people that are on the Lord's side. I'm so grateful for people in this room that have been here for 40 years. Brother Inman, Sister Gloria, Sister Inman. I'm grateful for people that I've seen come through in the last couple years and dig in. And it's like we couldn't have had church without them, like the Mendozas. The Bermejas bringing their whole family. Why is that important? Because every time I walk in this room, I don't have to worry about their politics. I don't have to worry about what they think about this issue, this social issue, and what's going on around the world. I know that when we come together, we are coming under the banner of I'm on the Lord's side, and that's all that matters for the next 90 minutes. Let's bring some walls. You know how crazy it is for someone to leave church over politics? Nuts. They're dividing themselves on things that change. Democrats 50 years ago, you would have been Republican. John F. Kennedy would have been one of the most conservative presidents we've ever had if he was elected today. Politics change. Social issues change. What is love? What is not love? What is pride? What is not pride? It changes. But you know what doesn't change? The Lord. He's the same today. He's the same yesterday. He is the same forever.
And so if I'm going to hook my boat, if I'm going to hook my wagon to something, I'm hooking it to something that has never changed. From the beginning of time, he was. He is today, and he shall always be. That is whose side I'm on. And until you align with that, the walls cannot come down.
Joshua could have said, what does that mean? You're on the Lord's side. Are you on my side? What the man was really saying is I'm on the Lord's side. What side are you on? Because from my vantage point, speaking about the man with the sword, from my vantage point, Joshua, you're living in the promised land and you still got manna in your teeth. From my vantage point, there's Jericho right there. There's a wall that you're supposed to knock down so the people of Israel can go and fulfill the promise of God and take the promise of God. And from what I can tell, I still smell the honey from the manna on your breath. And I've got a question for you. Not whose side am I on, whose side are you on?
Well, Pastor, I just wish these walls would fall down. No, you don't. Talked to a pastor friend of mine the day before we went to camp, and he said, "Oh man, I wish we were coming to camp. I wish we were there with you." I said, "No, you don't. If you did, you would be here. But your cheap behind didn't want to fundraise. You wanted to recarpet the FLC. You wanted to recarpet your lobby. You wanted to make sure that everything was marching forward. And instead of investing in 10, 12, or 40, I didn't say all that to him, but I did say, no, if you wanted to be here, you would be here. If you really wanted the walls to fall, they would fall. I don't care if you got to go at them with a pickaxe. I don't care if you got to climb them. I don't care if you got to tunnel under them. You would find a way. But thanks be to God, I don't have to do none of that. All I have to do is say, hey, I'm on the Lord's side. And because I'm on the Lord's side, he's going to give me the Lord's plan. And when I do the Lord's plan, the Lord's Spirit is going to move. And when the Lord's Spirit moves, walls fall. They fall. They cannot stand. They cannot stand. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm a wall breaker. I'm almost done. Verse 14, after Joshua says, are you for us or for our enemies? He said, neither. I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. And I've come. And Joshua said, you've come with a message? He fell face down. He said, give me the message. What is the message my Lord has to say? Listen, if we are going to be wall breakers, we need to be on the right side and with the right people. The commander of the Lord's army replies, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Before Moses is called out of Egypt, Moses has a similar experience with a burning bush. And when he is exposed to the presence of God, God says, Moses, there's something big I need you to do. There's a Red Sea that needs crossing. There's a Red Sea that needs parting. You're going to take millions of Israelites out of slavery, and you're going to free them. But the one thing I need you to do before I turn you loose is I need you to undo your sandals, and I need you to remove everything that is between you and the holy place, the holy ground, the hallowed ground. And Moses kicked off his sandals, and he said, I might not be able to talk right, but I'm holy. I might not have everything right yet, but I'm holy. I might have a murderous past, but I'm holy. Can I encourage you, church? The reason you're at Living Way and not some dry jab church down the road is because this is a holy place. We still believe in miracles. We still believe in the blood of Christ. We still believe that when we worship, Shekinah glory falls. And when Shekinah glory falls, so do walls.
If he does it once, he'll do it again. Bishop said this to Cruz, and Cruz mentions this to me all the time, my friend Cruz Ramirez from Abundant Life El Paso. He said, your dad wrecked me with one statement in his office. He said, when you're looking at theology and you're looking at the things and the gifts of God and whether they are for today or not, he said, you need to find at least two scriptures and one example. And when you find two scriptures and one example to support that principle or that gift, you embrace that thing. Well, I'm here to tell you, not only do we have two scriptures, we have two examples that before Moses did something great, God said, kick off your shoes and get down. Remove everything between you and the holy place. Here Joshua is standing on the brink of stepping into the fullness of the promise and tearing walls down. And guess what God said hundreds of years later? He said, hey, Joshua, I need you to do the same thing. Unlace your shoes. Kick off your shoes. Bow your face. Make sure your face touches the holy place. Why? Because when you shout, I need to make sure your lips are anointed to shout. I need you face down so that when you look at those walls, just the look of the anointed will make walls fall. When you show up, it should make you, they say you got a look that could kill. You got a look that brings down walls. Your presence changes things because of the holy place. The holy place. I'm almost out of time. If you're going to be a wall breaker, we need to remove everything that comes in between us and God. That's the setup in Joshua 5 for Joshua 6. One of the most famous stories in all of the Old Testament, the walls of Jericho. Verse 1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in, no one came out. Interesting that the writer of Joshua tells us about the gates of Jericho. I have a very vivid imagination. Chances are Joshua was a normal looking guy. But in my mind, Joshua looks like Aquaman, whatever his name is. I'm sure, ladies, you know his name very well. Jason Momoa. Brian, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Jason Momoa. I'm sure he didn't look like Jason Momoa, but in my vivid imagination, I see Joshua looking like Jason Momoa. He's looking at the walls of Jericho, but the verse says the gates were shut tight. No one in, no one out. In the movie in my head, you've got one of Joshua's right-hand men saying, now, Joshua, there's no way we can get in those gates. And Jason Momoa turns with a sultry look. Looks at him. Looks at the gates. Looks at the walls. And says, we're not going through the gates. We're going through the walls. In my mind, oh man, I should write this movie now. TBN, where you at? Come on, Crouch. The point is this. Some of us have been looking for our way here. And you're saying, God, I need the door to open. God, I need the gate to open. God, I've been looking at this gate and no one's come in and no one's gone out. God, how am I going to get there? And God is saying the same thing to you that he said to Joshua. We are not going through the gates. You are going through the walls. You are not going the way that everybody else has went. You are going in a completely different way. When we get done, it is not going to be that you beat the door down. It will be a miracle that somewhere out of nowhere, not with cannons, not with a military, but with a shout, walls came down. If you believe that, stand on your feet and shout, my walls are coming down.